Today we're going to talk about prayer. Next week's going to be giving. No controversy about that. We're going to talk about giving next week. Salvation. There are lots of questions about salvation, eternal security, unpardonable sin, things of that nature. So we'll get into that. And then a message on depression, mental health, some of those types of issues. We had several responses about that. And so I'm looking forward to unpacking some of those things biblically that last week. And then I'll do one final message before I'm out. And then we're going to get back into our normal, you know, kind of bread and butter around here, and that's expository teaching. So Pastor Jordan is going to be taking everybody through, and some other pastors and leaders, 1 Peter, throughout the summer months. So you can look forward to an entire expository series on the book of 1 Peter. And then when I get back, and one of the things that I'm doing while I'm gone is kind of mapping out what will end up being probably a years-long series on the life of Christ, a harmony of the Gospels that I'm tentatively calling Walking with Jesus, a journey through the Gospels. And so really just taking the time to really walk with Jesus all throughout the course of his life and ministry, and that's going to be really, really special. So if you're new and you're wondering, man, this church is kind of all over the map with their teaching, yeah, we're going to be that way for this next 4 weeks. And then we're going to get back into our expository stream, and we just know that's going to be a help and a blessing. So today we're starting with the subject of prayer. So I've asked you to turn to Luke chapter number 11. Our custom here at Adventure is to stand for the opening reading of Scripture. So if you're able to, please stand with us as I read Luke chapter 11, the first 13 verses where the Bible says this. Now Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples. And he said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation. And he said to them, which of you has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within, do not bother me. The door is now shut. My children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his impudence, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. And I tell you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Let's pray together. Father, thank you for these moments we have together. We ask your blessing on the teaching of your word. Thank you for the many principles that we find in the Bible concerning prayer. And I just trust that the time together will be rich and meaningful and beneficial to each and every one. Thank you for the ministry of the Holy Spirit. May he work in our hearts and lives as we continue into our time of worship through teaching. And we'll give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks, everybody. You may be seated. So look, there is so much that the Bible says on the subject of prayer. We could camp there for weeks on the subject of prayer. But what I was particularly moved by this statement, and it came in one of the cards, was teach us to pray. Lord, teach us to pray. I've always been fascinated by four of the main aspects of our individual, personal faith walk. You know, what are those things that really define our personal faith walk? Well, there's obviously the value and the importance of the Scriptures. There's the value and the importance of prayer. There's the value and importance of community, fellowship, church, if you will. And there's the value and the importance of sharing our faith or living on mission, making disciples. And throughout my nearly 25 years of ministry, what I've found is that the things that Christians most struggle with are value and importance of the Scriptures, value and importance of prayer, value and importance of fellowship, community, the church, and living on mission, sharing faith, making disciples. So the things that are sometimes the most clear are the things that we oftentimes struggle the most with. So oftentimes we get sidetracked, we get discouraged because there's so much about the book that we don't get, that we don't understand, that we have a hard time comprehending and processing. And I get all of that, because if you're in that boat, I'm in that boat with you. There's lots about it that we really wrestle with and we struggle with. But don't allow the wrestling and the struggling of the things that are difficult keep you from experiencing and exploring the things that are just right in front of your face. They're right there. The clearness, the clarity of Scripture in so many areas oftentimes is obscured by the things that really, man, just trip me up and really get us derailed sometimes. Don't let those things derail you. Focus on those things, and prayer is one of those things. I mean, you just cannot read the Scriptures. You cannot read the Scriptures and not see the value, the premium that is placed on prayer. And so my plan here is not to reinvent the wheel. You're probably not going to hear anything new and revelatory this morning. One of the great challenges that I face in ministry, one of the great challenges that we face in this church in particular, is that we've got just a broad spectrum of people, and I love that about our church. We've got folks, you may be here, and you're either new to the faith, or maybe you're just exploring faith, like you haven't even come to faith yet, you're trying to figure it out, you're not sure how all the pieces fit. Man, we welcome you. We are so glad that you're here, and we don't want anybody to feel like they've got to be in the certain box before they're welcome to be a part of our church and to be a part of our experience that we have here at the church. So we've got folks that are like that, and we're grateful. And then we've got folks in our church, and you've been following Jesus longer than I've been alive. And there's just this broad spectrum of folks. And so one of the challenges, and as you pray for me, is the opportunities to minister to both ends of that spectrum and then everybody in between. And so there are going to be things this morning about prayer that you're going to be like, wow, like I didn't know that, and that's super, super helpful. There's going to be other things that are said that I hope will just be affirming to you as you have lived and walked a life of faith throughout the years and maybe even decades that will encourage you. And so hopefully there will be, my prayer certainly, is that there'll be something here today that will encourage you and equip you in this discussion on the subject of prayer. So let me give you just some initial thoughts. If you want to take some notes on your note sheet, feel free to do so. Just some initial thoughts. The first one from the text. Observation creates imitation. Observation creates imitation. They're watching him. Jesus, he's praying in a certain place. And when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray. We see you praying all the time. Now you teach us. Their observation of Jesus caused them to want to imitate what he was doing, what he was a part of. That was particularly meaningful. I had a phone conversation. Well, I'll back it up. I got a text from my son. So my oldest son, who's in the Marines down in Southern California, I got a text from my son at 2 o'clock in the morning, Saturday. 2 o'clock Saturday morning. It was simply one word. It was, dude. I knew exactly what it was because I knew he was going to go see the new Avengers movie that night. And so he texted me right after he saw the movie with just, dude. And this is a spoiler-free zone, by the way, okay? So if you haven't seen the new Avengers movie, no spoilers here, I assure you, okay? And then he called me, he slept, obviously, the whole night. And then he called me yesterday afternoon, and we spoke for nearly an hour about the movie. I've not talked to my son for an hour since probably he was in high school or something, you know, like, but we talked for an hour about the movie, and it got me thinking about, you know, it's no mistake, it's no coincidence that my son is like a huge Star Wars, Marvel geek, you know, kid, because this is us for the first Avengers movie in 2012. We went down to San Francisco. They did the first Marvel movie marathon where they showed all the movies leading up to Avengers. We watched 6 movies in a row. And I took him out of school to do that. Yes, I am that parent. I am that parent that takes their kid out of school to go to movies. And so so this was us, you know, 7 years ago for the first Avengers movie. And so he has observed the geekness, he has observed the nerdness, and he has imitated that. He's like, this is what dad does, and so now this is what I do, and this is what I want to be a part of. And what I hope that we see, not just, you know, in this text, but in this series, and it's one of the reasons why I'm so excited about this series that we're going to be doing when I get back from my sabbatical, is I just want us desperately to be looking at what Jesus was about and observing that and then imitating that. I want to be a Jesus person. I want us to be a Jesus church. You might remember this this acronym from a couple decades ago, and this is no criticism if you've got swag that's WWJD. What would Jesus do? And bracelets and all the rest. Okay, don't throw it all away. Okay, there's nothing wrong with what would Jesus do, but I'm much more enamored with this one. What did Jesus do? Doesn't quite flow off the tongue like the other one, WD. So we're going to talk a lot about that in that series, because we're going to look at all the ways in which Jesus interacted with people and with religious leaders and with political leaders and with culture and society. And we're going to be like, I didn't know that about Jesus. That's not quite the Jesus that I have in my mind. I want us to really get back to being a people that is about Jesus. And that's what we see here in Luke 11. They were observing Jesus, and after observing him, that created in them the desire to imitate what he was doing. Lord, teach us to pray. Number two, imitation demands dependence. Lord, teach us to pray. It did not come naturally to them. It wasn't something that was just built into them. It wasn't something that was just ingrained into them. They needed to grow in this area. And so if you're here today and you'd be like, man, my prayer life is just not what I'd like it to be. Well, you're in really great company. These guys are walking and talking and living with Jesus, and they're like, Lord, teach us to pray. This dependence of what we need. Now, it's interesting that we get this in every other discipline of life. Every other discipline of life, we totally understand that we're growing and we're learning and we're exploring and we're engaging in all these different subjects. And now we're at a place in our life where we know and we understand so much more about certain things because of all the investment that has gone into engaging in those areas. But for whatever reason, when it comes to our spiritual life, we think there's some magic pill or secret potion or blessed hanky or water or whatever it is that just says, just do this and boom, it's all just going to happen for you. And it doesn't happen that way. There's growth. There's a process. There's opportunities for us to engage in these things, and it demands a dependence on him. Let me encourage you. When it comes to prayer, that's our primary focus today, but just in all areas, have a teachable spirit. Have a teachable spirit. Don't be that guy that just has it all figured out. Don't be that person who just, you're above, engaging in the questions. Have a teachable spirit. I desperately want to have a teachable spirit. And it's something that we all struggle with because I know. Let's have a teachable spirit and let's learn from one another and let's learn from Scripture. Let's learn from the words of Jesus and have that dependence upon him. Observation creates imitation. Imitation demands dependence. Dependence reveals goodness. And he gives this lengthy talk about the different lengths that we will go to help other people. Like if we will help other people, surely God is going to do this for us. So he gives this great example of, the guy that comes knocking at the door and it's like, I'm not listening. I'm in bed. I'm not getting up to answer the door. I'm not going to answer that text. I'm not going to answer that email. I'm in bed. I don't want to be bothered. And then he gives this example of a father with children. If your child asks for this, are you going to give them something else? If they ask for, what is it? What is it specifically? If they ask for a fish, are you going to give them a serpent? If they ask for an egg, are you going to give them a scorpion? No, you're not going to do that. You're evil. I mean, you've got all sorts of mixed emotions and motives and all the things that you struggle with internally. And if even you get this figured out, you know how to give good gifts to your kids. Surely our Father. So we have a good, good Father. I love that Chris Tomlin song. He's a good, good Father. It's who you are. I'm loved by you. It's who I am. He is a good Father. I wanted to bless my daughter this week, and because we've got the new puppy. I shared that last week. We've got the new puppy at the house, and she's been doing just great, and Gracie's been doing great, and I just kind of wanted to bless her and thank her and just show her that, I'm taking notice. And I said, what do you want? I'll get you anything you want. And she wanted a Magnum double caramel ice cream bar. Do you guys know what I'm talking about? That is, I forgot to put a picture up on the screen, but that's like her all-time favorite thing. Diabetes on a stick. right there. Double caramel Magnum chocolate ice cream bar. And if I'd have shown up and given her Brussels sprouts, what kind of dad would I have been? Here you go. Here's some asparagus. Here's some green beans. No. And truth, I gave her two. I didn't just give her one. I gave her two. And I shared this story last night, and my wife said, excuse me? What am I getting? So I've got to do something for my wife today. She took umbrage at the fact that I'd done that for Gracie. But we do good things. We do good things for our children because we love them. We take the time. We take trips. We give them gifts. We lavish upon them because we love them. And if even in our sinfulness and our mixed motivations and all the things that we struggle with internally, if we have that figured out, surely even more so, he says, how much more will God provide and give those good gifts? Now, he doesn't always give us everything we want, but what we need, and he's good in what he doesn't give us. If I was only giving, if Gracie was living day in and day out on, you know, Magnum chocolate double caramel ice cream bars, that would not be good for her. Okay? And so sometimes God knows what's best for us, and so sometimes he doesn't give us the things that we want, or he doesn't give us the things that we want when we want them and things of that nature. But he is a good, good Father. And as we enter into this understanding of dependence with prayer, we enter into one who we know has absolutely our best interest in mind and at heart. So I want to close just with some really simple aspects to prayer, because we get really concerned about doing it right. One of the things that oftentimes paralyzes us with prayer is I just don't know that I'm doing it right. So I want to give you some things to think about, some aspects to prayer that I hope will be a help. And I want to illustrate it before I get started with a video that's literally like one of my all-time favorite videos on prayer. So if you've been here for several years, you've seen this already. Because we oftentimes get caught into the trap of, you know, I've got to say it a certain way, and it's got to be super great and flowery and poetic and all the rest. And God's just saying, just talk to me. Just talk to me. It's a conversation with God. Don't fall into this trap. Check out this video. Awesome. Okay, look, you don't need to impress God. You don't need to hire the super pastor guy on TV to pray for you, okay? Just talk to him. Just talk to God. And if you pray like the super pastor guy on TV, if it's from your heart, that's okay. The point is, it just needs to be from your heart, and we don't have to get caught up in trying to impress others. All right. So let me give you just a couple quick things. I shared this at the when we did our prayer vigil. We did a 24-hour prayer vigil for the Capital Campaign. It's the ACTS model of prayer. And I don't expect you to read the things underneath. Just this is the image that we used: adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. These are four elements, things that will help us understand what should comprise our prayers. What are some aspects of prayer that we should engage in? So let me just kind of run through these quickly. Okay, the first one, adoration. Father, hallowed be your name. Praising him for who he is, not just what he's done. Okay, he does lots of wonderful things for us. He bestows us with lots and lots of blessings. But he is worthy whether he, quote unquote, comes through for us or not. Okay, he is worthy of our praise. It's coming to him on his terms, not on our terms. Because oftentimes what we do is we gauge the worthiness of God based on what he's doing for us. And so if he answers us the way we want, then we're like, God, awesome, great stuff. And if he doesn't answer us the way we want, we're like, well, I don't know if it's even real, and does prayer work, and all the other things that, you know, our minds will cause us to go. Adoration is a huge part. Spend time just adoring him. Psalms are great for this. Just adoring him, just praising him for who he is, not just the things that he has done. Father, hallowed be your name. Confession, forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us. There's a curiosity here, and we're going to get into this more with salvation in a couple of weeks. Because I'm fascinated by the prospect of asking for forgiveness for things that have already been forgiven. As a believer in Jesus Christ, you are placed in Christ, and all of your sin is forgiven at the moment you're brought into his family. past, present, future. You are placed in Christ. You are justified. You are declared righteous. There is nothing that can be brought against you. You stand completely forgiven in Christ. And yet we've got these admonitions throughout Scripture that talk about, you know, asking for forgiveness and forgiveness and confession being a part of our interaction. So there's a lot to be said about the relationship that we have with God and the fellowship that we have with God. The relationship that God has with us through the finished work of Jesus Christ and the fellowship that I have with God based on kind of how things are going in my life. So I'm eternally secure. Again, we're going to get to this more. The subjects are colliding a little bit. I'm eternally secure in Christ. I'm His and He's mine. But my life kind of goes like this. And there are times when I'm feeling really, really strong, and there are other times I'm feeling really, really weak. And this idea of confession is more about, more than just asking for forgiveness. The word actually in the Greek means agreeing with God about our sin. It's looking at our sin. It's looking at our choices. It's looking at our priorities the way God looks at those things. And that will then inform us as to how we ought then be living in relationship to a holy God. And so I think part of this is keeping us in that right disposition before a holy God. And we won't go to Isaiah chapter 6 this morning because of time, but if you want to jot that scripture down, he has this encounter with the Lord, and he's undone. Woe is me, for I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell among a people of unclean lips. And all the work. It keeps us in that proper disposition before a holy God. So begin agreeing with God about our sin, agreeing with God about our choices, about our priorities. What does God say about these things? And as we begin to orient our minds and lives around those things, see the difference it would take. So, adoration, adoring Him for who He is, confessing sin. Number three, thanksgiving. Before you ask for more, be grateful for what you have. Nothing wrong with asking for more. We're going to get to that. But man, let's take some time to thank Him for His blessings, to thank Him for His provision, to thank Him for family and friends and community and house and car and forgiveness and salvation and freedom and all the other things that we know every good and perfect gift comes from God, comes down from the Father of lights. Thank you for these things. Philippians chapter 4 talks about prayer with and supplication with thanksgiving. Let thanksgiving always be a part of your conversation with God. Thank you, God, for this day. Thank you, God, for this food. Thank you, God, for my children. Thank you, God, for the air in my lungs to live for you today. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Let thanksgiving be a part of that. Rehearse all the things God has blessed you with and give Him thanks. And then, number four, supplication. Ask, give us each day our daily bread. There's nothing wrong with asking. Just don't let that be all of what your prayer life entails. Nothing wrong with asking. We've got our middle daughter. So our oldest son's in the Marines. Our middle daughter, she's away to college. And if every time she called me, it was just asking for money, it'd be like, come on, really? I'm not a human ATM machine. Now, she does call on occasion for money. She does call on occasion for stuff that she needs. But most of the time she's calling because she just wants to know what's going on in our life and what's happening at the church and how is the Easter egg hunt and how's the new puppy and what's going on with Gracie's volleyball and all the different things that are happening in life. There's this relational bridge between her in San Diego and us in Yuba City. And when a need arises, she says, I really need help with some groceries. I need help with some gas. I've got a medical bill I need to take care of. Whatever it is. And then we provide when we're able to provide. So ask God for those things, for healing, for restoration, for marriage, for finances, for job, for car, for kids, for parents, you know, just all the different things. Bring those requests to God. Offer those things to God. Say, God, I need your help here, 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 and here. Supplication. I love this quote from Bill Hybels. I don't know if you can see that on the screen. If the request is wrong, God says no. If the timing is wrong, God says slow. If you are wrong, God says grow. But if the request is right, the timing is right, and you are right, God says go. Just this idea of, you know, God knows best, God understands, God has a perspective that you and I don't have, just like we have a perspective for our children that they don't have. God has a perspective for us as His children that we sometimes don't understand. I'm always really challenged by that song, and I appreciate Jeff always including it in the list. I'm forgetting the name of it, but whenever we sing that song, there's a line at the end that says, my God will come through always. My God will come through always. Whenever I sing that song, I'm always mindful. I'm like, there are people in this room who feel like there have been times that God has let them down. And we're singing this song as an anthem, and it's truth. It's truth. So Jeff, Pastor Jeff, like, keep it in the list, man. We love that song. That's a great song. But it's a reminder that God comes through always on His terms, not our terms all the time. You know, I love that. You know, we saw the Breakthrough movie, and I love how they kind of dealt at the end of the movie some of the tension between, like, okay, why did God save this boy? Why did God answer the prayer of this mother, you know, in the emergency room, and not the countless others of, you know, there's a, I don't know. There's a tension there that I don't quite understand, but I trust dependence reveals a goodness that says to me that He is a good, good Father in the midst of my not being able to maybe connect all the dots. That's where faith comes into the equation, and we understand that He is good. Let me encourage you. Prayer is one of those subjects that can be really intimidating. People just don't quite get, what does that mean? What does that look like? Let me end with just a couple of quick things. The first off is, there's this kind of back and forth related to the importance of the where and the when. The Bible says pray without ceasing. So the first thing I would tell you is encourage you to just develop an attitude of prayer, where it's all day, every day, you know, where you're just having moments where you're just thanking God and you're adoring God and you're bringing Him, you know, your needs and you're confessing, you're understanding your disposition before Him as He's a holy God and we're still sinful. All of those things, you know, just all the time. But let me also encourage you to have a time with God. Have a time with God where you can just shut out the rest. I do a lot of that when I'm driving. I love just so I don't close my eyes. Do you bow your head and close your eyes? No, my eyes are wide open. God, you know, He's not, you know, there's nothing wrong with that, but those are the things that we kind of do that, you know, just kind of adds layers. But anyway, I do a lot of that in my car. I call it windshield time, and I'm just praying. I'm just talking to God and just having a conversation with Him. And so some designated times. The other thing I would encourage you, I've talked to a lot of folks through the years, and they still really struggle with knowing what to say, is to write your prayers. Write them down. And if you got your phone, you know, like, you know, you've got an app on your phone, you can just make notes and just, you know, God, thank You for who You are, and these are confession, and these are things I'm thankful for, and here's some things that I need. And then just read that prayer. Parents, I've worked with parents, I need to pray with my kids, but I don't know how to pray with my kids. Just write it out, and then read it with your kids, and just have a time of prayer with your kids. The enemy wants to tell you this morning that prayer is for me. And prayer is for Pastor Jordan, and prayer is for Pastor Jeff and our leaders and people that are kind of up front. Prayer is for all of us. This room is full of prayer warriors today. And we believe in the power of prayer. We believe in the avenue of prayer. And I encourage you to be someone who doesn't just input this message and understand more about what prayer is, but go out these doors and begin to pray. Lord, teach us to pray. Now, go and pray. Amen? Amen. Let's pray together. Father, thank You. We love You. We thank You for the privilege that we have because of Jesus to have this kind of relationship with You where the doors are just swung wide open and we have this access to You to be able to bring before You all of who we are to You. And Your word says You incline Your ear to us. You listen to us. You hear us. We're not just one of the billions. We're not just part of the noise. You hear us as if we were the only one speaking. And Father, we're moved by that today. And yet so many of us struggle with having an active, engaged prayer life because we've just made it so complicated. And so I pray, Lord, that some of the things we've shared today would have been a help, that folks would feel equipped and empowered to engage in prayer like never before. We thank you for all that it means, and we ask that you bless us as we dismiss and go our separate ways. For it's in Jesus' name we pray these things. All God's people said, amen. Amen. Amen.